David said, I was glad, I was excited, I was exhilarated. When they said, let's go into the house of the Lord, that means that by the time, when was he excited? At home. So when he came into the church, he was already in another gear. Hallelujah. We are not at a funeral service, we are in the presence of the Most High God. Amen. Amen. He said, in the presence of God, there is joy. Joy unending. Hallelujah. His joy is our strength. If you have had a bad week, the joy of the Lord will be your strength in the name of Jesus. May he strengthen you. Hallelujah. You will overcome. You will overcome. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Did anybody get my proclaim? Okay. I can't see here. What's happening? I can't see from here. What's going on? Okay, there you are. There you are. Today we are talking about love for God's people. What have we been talking about recently? Anybody remember? Love, and what was the main theme of the series? Vital signs of the timeless vital sign. Never forget that word, timeless. They are timeless. Timeless vital signs of what? The church. And who is the church? You and I. Amen. So we talked about love for God's house last Sunday. And today, another vital sign that shows whether a Christian is growing, a Christian is normal, a Christian is good, is following Jesus Christ as God wants him to do, is the love for God's people. Amen. Now say people. Yeah. And now let's say God's people. They are not your people. They are God's people. Hallelujah. Say, I am God's person. I am God's child. Hallelujah. God loves me. God loves his people. And so must I. Loving God's people. Not just loving them, but loving them with enduring love. Amen. Jonathan Swift said, we have just enough religion to make us hate, but not enough to make us love one another. There's too much religion going on. Too much religion, like I said, outside there's too much hatred. But the problem is that it has crept into the church religiously. And there's too much religion that we hate instead of loving one another. Somebody once said that love is the circulatory system of the body of Christ. If you don't have love in our midst, that's not the body of Christ, it's dead. Hallelujah. In the morning I said we have got many Christians but few disciples. Many Christians but few disciples. And Jesus is looking for disciples. He's looking for disciples. Ones that will sit under his tutelage, ones that will sit and obey and walk according to his precepts, his principles, his values. Those are his disciples. And how did he say his disciples will be known? He said, by the love they have for one another. We're going to go straight into 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Paul is speaking about love. And to get the context of this scripture, we need to know that the Corinthian church was riddled with hatred. There was a lot of hatred in the church, in the Corinthian church. They were abusing tongues. There was division in the church. Many factions, like we are here right now, you know, sat in a congregation, but different factions. You know, there's some sister who cannot sit the other side, even when the ushers say, you know, go left. They insist on going right. Why? Because they have seen sister so-and-so sat on the left. And you know, and guess what? They have all come to worship God. And God sits in heaven and laughs. He laughs at us, guys. This is what was happening in the church of Corinth. There was envy. Envy of others because of their gifts. selfishness. There was a lot of lawsuits. People were taking each other to court in the Church of Corinth. Can you imagine you taking your friend here, your sister, to court just because they stepped on you or they, you know, lawsuits in church. There was impatience for one another in public meetings in the Church of Corinth. Disgracing behavior before the Lord in the Church of Corinth. So that's what prompted Paul to pen these scriptures. Adept at speaking in tongues, steeped in preaching, powerful singers, but full of hatred. So he says, if I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal, like these ones here. Doesn't matter whether you what kind of tongues you speak. If you do not have what? Love. If I have prophetic powers, prophetic utterance, and understanding, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith, may speak the mountain to move from one area into the river Thames. If you don't have love, you are zilch, nothing. So to remove mountains, but I have not love, I am. Now say it like it is there. You are nothing. Now personalize it, because this is Paul personalizing it. I want us to personalize these scriptures. If I do not have these, I am nothing. Did you hear that? Let's continue. And if I give all I have, you may be the most generous donor that ever lived. And if I give up my body to be burned, that's a sacrifice, by the way. But have not love, I gain nothing. Have you noted how many nothings are in that scripture? Nothing. Let's go ahead. Love is patient. Now he begins to define what love is. Love is what? Patient and kind. Patient. Patient. We live in a world that is fast moving. We cannot wait for trains. We cannot wait for buses. We cannot wait, you know, for marriage. We cannot wait even before a microwave. We cannot wait. Love is patient. You have to be patient. If you have no patience, you can never have love. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. Doesn't boast at all. It's not arrogant. Now, as I speak, as we read those scriptures, I think most of us are beginning to see some of these traits in us. Yeah, we are talking about facing brutal facts. Amen. We are good at pointing those fingers at other people. But right now we are pointing them, you know, into ourselves. It is arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. Come on, you are always right. When will other people be right? Honey, I love you. Is a wife telling a husband or vice versa. And every time it is your way, it is your way, it is your way. For some of us, it's my way or the highway. It is my way or give me my keys. In this country, we have got that demon. That demon where women chase away men from the house. That demon, I don't know where it came from. It is ungodly. If you are a Christian, you confess to be a Christian, you can never say that. It's my way or the highway. We had a very powerful testimony here from Natasha on Friday. Awesome! She has decreed, this is my marriage. This is my house. devil. It is the devil who moves out. It is the devil who moves out, not a man. Hallelujah. It is not your way all the time. At your school, it's not your way all the time. At your place of work, it's not your way all the time. If they do not do things my way, I am out of this organization. My friend, go have your own organization where you want to. Even when you have your own organization, there will still be other organizations which will tell you what to do. Love is not irritable. When people are walking around you, they're like walking on eggshells. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Should they look at you the wrong way? And this is the sister who has been worshiping there. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. They find you in the corridor there. They say, Mike, is this the same person? Split personalities. Split personalities in the church. Yeah. That's why we've got to root it out. Somebody say out. Or resentful. Let's continue. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing. When somebody falls into a pit, you know, they soil themselves, you know, like with sin. We don't rejoice, guys. We don't broadcast it on WhatsApp, on Facebook. You know what? You know, you have no idea. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Come on, guys. Come on. Come on. We cannot do that. That's not love. But it rejoices with the truth. Love bears some things. No. All things. Now, all means all, by the way. Don't scratch your head and try to go into the thesaurus and the dictionary and Google. All means all. The good and the bad. It bears them. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. That's love. Hallelujah. Let's continue. Now, this one is deep. That is where I want us today. If you go away from this service with anything, go away with that sentence. Love never what? Never ends. Love never ends. Love never ends. It's a circle. Never ends. That's why we have the ring. The ring as a symbol of love when people are getting married. Ring that your love will never end. There's nothing like divorce. That's love. You cannot be in love today and out of love. That was never love. I will repeat that in case it went over your head. You cannot be in love, if it is true love, you cannot be in love and out of love tomorrow. You cannot. It never ends. Ends. Listen, if you are in this church, I will love you until Christ comes. Hallelujah. And listen, even if you choose to say, you know, the Lord has posted me somewhere else, I will still love you. You know why? You know why? Because I got a revelation. Love is a revelation. All these things will pass away. Prophecies will pass away. The tongues, raso kotoko, all those will pass away. Knowledge will pass away. Verse 9. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfect comes, the partial passes away. What is the perfect? Love is the perfect, my friend. 10 or 11. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. There's deep, deep revelation in those verses. I reasoned like a child. If you are still hating right now, you are still a child. You are still thinking like a child. Because when I became a man, I gave up childish ways. child, hatred is childish. It is childish. Now it's amazing how we have got men who are boys, women who are girls, have children, but you are still a child. Oh, I'm sorry, we have children here. You don't understand what I'm saying. We behave like children. Hatred, how can hatred is not a portion of adults. It's not. When I was a child, I thought, I reasoned, I acted, I spoke like a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Anything that is not love, put it away. Put it away. Hallelujah. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, and I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. Verse 13. So now there is faith, there is hope, and love. They abide, all these three. But the greatest of them is love. Hallelujah. The greatest of them is what? Love. Love, my friend, is not just a feeling. It's not just a feeling. It's an attitude. It's not just a feeling. That's why people fall in love and out of love, because it's just a feeling, just at this level. We need to graduate to that, to another higher level of love. Hallelujah. Another level of love. Love that comes by revelation. Unselfish love. Love that is altruistic. Love that is strong, robust. The word that the Hebrew word is hesed. Hesed. Do we have that slide? Hesed. Hesed. Should be the next one. Hesed. That's love. It means enduring loyalty. Another word for love, by the way, is loyal. Loyal. When you love somebody, you become loyal to them. Hallelujah. Loyalty. But this one is enduring. Do you know why it is enduring? The word is enduring because it will come against many things. It will come against many forces. There's an assault on love in the world from day one. An assault on love. That's why many people are broken. That's why even when we say God loves you, you don't even understand it. You can't comprehend it for some of us because we didn't experience love. While we were growing up, daddy left the house or mommy left the house, or they were always fighting in the house. You know, you don't have love. There was no affection. When you grew up, the people who said they love you, it was just lust. This one is enduring love. Girl asks boy, do you love me? Boy, I love you. How much do you love me? Boy, I love you. Even when you die, it's me that will be buried. Girl, are you ready to die for me? Boy, my love is undying one. My kind of love is the undying one. He cannot die for you. Cannot. She cannot die for you. Now, most of us were abused have abused the word love. Has lost meaning. So even when we talk about the love of God, we can't understand it. When somebody walks at you and says, I love you. Now, for those of you who are still young, who haven't become casualties yet, be careful. Be careful. Not anybody who walks at you and says, I love you. They mean, no. Test them. Test that kind of love. Is it genuine love? Somebody say amen. This kind of love is unfailing. It has got unfailing kindness, unfailing devotion. The word I want us to go away with is steadfast. Steadfast affection. It is steadfast love. It never ends. It is steadfast. It's the same in January. It will be the same in December. That's how God is. Our God's love is, you know, you can never understand love until you get a revelation of who God is. Now, people who hate, if you have somebody here that you hate, I have news for you. You don't know God. Stop saying that you know God. Today, I want to invite you to know God, to get to know who God is. God is love. You cannot say you love God while you are full of hatred. Hatred is not our dialect. It's not our portion. It's not our language. Hatred. I do not have enemies. It is they who choose to make me their enemy. I am being absolutely sincere. I have no enemy. It is they who choose to make me their enemy. I love them because the love of Christ commands, it compels me to love my enemies. Did you just hear that? Have no enemies at all. If you have them, delete them. Delete the name that label enemy. Delete it. Turn it around. Love them. You are commanded by God to love them. And there was no amen. Pastor, you have no idea what they did to me. You don't know. I do not have to know. My duty is to tell you what the word of God commands me to tell you. You've got to love enemies. Have no enemies. That's why the Bible says, if possible, live at peace with all men. Does that mean they won't step on you? They will step on you. But you've got to forgive. Forgive means, forgive is made of two words. You give before, forgive. I have forgiven you in advance. All of you. All of you. These people don't know me. There's nothing you can say or do that will cause me to hate you. Or lose sleep. No. I will snow the roof down. Genesis chapter 39:21. Let's move on quickly. Time is going. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him what? Steadfast love. His enemies, his brothers thought they were killing him. They thought they had thrown him and, you know, killed his dreams. But God showed him steadfast love. The word is steadfast. The meaning, the connotation of hesed is made clear in Hosea chapter 2, verse 19 and 20. What does he say? Hosea chapter 2, verse 19 and 20. You don't have it? Is it coming? Okay, I'll read from here. And he says, and I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you to me forever. It is forever. So for God, when God gets into love with you, for him it is what? It is a forever thing. That's why when we are wedding couples here, we say it is until what? So there's nothing like coming back to me. Pastor, you know, when I was marrying this girl, I thought I'd got a real deal. Now I've just realized that I got a raw deal. Now, Pastor, I want a new deal. New deal. I will tell you, no deal indeed. Hallelujah. Is somebody hearing? He says, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice and in steadfast love and in mercy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. His love, our God's love, is unshakable. His hesed, that Greek word, is unshakable. It is steadfast. Now contrast that or juxtapose that with the unpredictable, capricious moods of heathen gods and individuals, you know, who are on and off, on and off, on and off. Today it's hot, tomorrow it's cold. Listen, this word he said, love, is not an emotional response to beauty. It's not an emotional response to merit. It's not an emotional response to kindness. It's a moral attitude dedicated to one's good. Whether or not that other is lovable, worthy, or responsive. You give it to this person, whether they are lovable, whether they are responsive, or whether they are worthy. Your duty is just to love them. Will some accept it? No. But you just love them. I love you at a distance. Yeah, I love you at a distance. Some people, you need to love them at a distance. Just love them. Because they are full of thorns. Wherever you turn, they are thorns. So, love you. I love you, sister. I don't hate you. No. I love you, brother. I love you. My lecturer in university used to say, I bear no grudges. I bear no grudges. I just love you, brother. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7 to 9. Deuteronomy, verse 7 to 9. He says, it was not because you were more in number. This is God talking to the Israelites. It's not because you are more in number than any other people that the Lord has set his love on you and chose you. For you were the fewest of all peoples. This man behind this microphone, he was the least among others. Drunkard, drug addict, everything. You think I'm here because I'm too good? No. No. He says, but it is because the Lord does what? Loves you. And is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers, that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. All this he did because he loved them. You are alive today because God loves you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why? God's love does not change. From the Garden of Eden, his love was assaulted. It didn't change. The nation of Israel is born. He still loves them. They rebel against his edicts. He continues to love them. They're in exile. He still loves them. They come back. He still loves them. Why? Because he is persistent. His love is infinite. He has that kind of patience that will not be worn out. You cannot wear out God. You cannot. You cannot. No sinner can wear out God. Although he does not condone evil, he does not abandon evildoers. He doesn't condone evil doing, but yet he doesn't abandon the evildoers. He remains kind. He remains tender and compassionate. Psalm 86:15 says, but you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious. He is slow to anger. He is slow to anger. The problem with that person sat next to you is they are quick to anger. Even before you say anything that angers them, they are already angry. Yeah, they have for anger indeed. Before you do anything, they are already angry. The person whom you walked out of the house saying, oh, how are you? How you laughed, you had a cup of tea. By the time you get in the house, you get in the bathroom and begin asking yourself, what did I say? Did I say something wrong? You begin to have a soliloquy. What did I do? He's slow to anger and abounding. The word is abounding. He's abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Hosea 11, 1 to 4. He says, this is him describing his love for Israel. When Israel was a child, that is when it was born as a nation, And I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. The more they were called, the more they went away. The more I called them, the more they went away. And kept sacrificing the Baals and burning offerings to idols. Yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took him by his arms. But they did not know that I healed them. I led them with cords of kindness, with bands of love, and I became to them as one who eases the yoke on their jaws. And I bent down to them and fed them. Have you ever done this to somebody? Loved them, lavished them. And some of them is you who welcomed them into this country. They slept in your house. They ate your food. They drank your milk. But right now, when they look at you, they look at, they size you from up to down. This is what Israel did to God. But you know what? He still loved them. Why? Because he is slow to anger. And he abounds in steadfast, enduring love. God wants you and I to have enduring love. In the New Testament, that's called agape. Agape love. Agape love. The Greek call it spiritual, unselfish, and steadfast love. That's what it's called. I'm not talking about Eros love. Now, these days in church, we have got that Eros love is all over the place. Not here. Not here. I repeat, not here. Not here. Here we practice agape love. Amen. 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 The safest place, guys, the safest place any lady, any young child would ever be, should be in your presence. Ladies, the safest place you will ever be in this church will be in my presence. I will never abuse you. Now, if any lady has in them some demon of Eros love, and you come to me, I will tear you down. I will tear you down. I mean it. Any demon of seduction in any woman, and you come into my space, I will eat you alive. You will regret it. I carry agape love. Agape love. Agape love. My sons in the house must carry agape love. Period. Hallelujah. We are not here to use you, girls, ladies. We are not here to abuse you. We are here to love you with the love of God. If anybody begins to show you that Eros love, before you tear them and come to me. I need to know. I need to know. No games, my friend. No games. No games. Agape love is what we are called to do. I will repeat this. If any woman comes with any Eros love in their minds and enters my space, I will sniff you out already. I'll have sniffed you out. I will sniff you out. You will not stand. You must come to me as a daughter coming to a father. As a daughter coming to a father. You come to me with honor, honoring me as your father. If you do not honor me, you are not my daughter. You are not. You cannot call me daddy if you don't honor me. You cannot. Stop. Let's stop playing games, guys. Come on. Come on. You call me papa. You call me daddy. No, 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 no. Honor. Honor. You must honor if you come in my space with agape love. expecting to be safe. Hallelujah. Expecting to be safe, and you will be safe. Amen. Do you still love me? God showed us love. He showed us what love is by sending his only begotten son. How did he send him? The Bible says, for God so loved the world in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he did what? He sent his only begotten son that whosoever loves him not perish. Why? Because it is his nature. God cannot hate. It is his nature. He is love. And his love is steadfast and is enduring. That's why Jesus Christ wants you and I to believe in his principles and his ideals by becoming his disciples, as we said earlier. John 13, 34 to 35. He said, let me give you a new command. Love one another. It's a what? A new command. It's a command. Love is a command. You are commanded. I am commanded to love you. Love one another. How? In the same way I have loved you, love one another. This is how everyone will recognize that you are my disciples, when they see the love you have for each other. So people outside there are observing. You're observing. Some people come in this church and they're observing. Guests come in this church and they're observing. How do we love each other? How do we love one another? But as while they are passing by a group of women going to the toilet, they just overhear some ladies tearing down another. You see these kids here? You think they are kids, but they pick up stuff. They hear you. They saw you laughing together, but now they hear you, you know, tearing the other woman down. His love is unenduring. He showed us his love by laying his life down. The chief characteristic of this love is that it accepts the moral obligation of another's welfare. It's not about me. It's about your welfare. Christ did not need to die. It was out of love. He's holy. Why did he die at the cross? That you and I may be saved. Is he asking us to hate ourselves? Far from it. In fact, in Mark chapter 12, verse 31, according to the message, he says, in the message Bible, he says, love others as well as you love yourself. In other words, love your neighbor as you love your what? Yourself. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's finish with 1 John chapter 4, from verse 7 to 12. And somebody says, steadfast love. He says, beloved, let us love one another. For love is where? Is from God. That's why I said you cannot love people if you haven't encountered with God. It is a revelation. It is an encounter. Love is a result of an encounter with God. If you encounter with God, you will receive love, because he radiates love. He exudes love. You have no option. If you go outside, you know, and we live in this country where it's overcast all the other time. But if you go in countries where there's sunshine, you go outside, you will, whether you want it or not, you will experience the sunshine. Because that's the nature of the sun. It radiates heat. So now if you're in the presence of God, and you're really in the presence of God, you didn't just come to church just, you know, as a social gathering. You came to meet with God, and you encountered God. You have got to encounter love. And because you encountered love, you have no option but to give it. Wherever you go, you are giving it. Because that's, you become love itself. God wants you to become love. Hallelujah. Become love. Become an oasis of love at your place of work, in your school, in your home, wherever you are. Become love. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been what? Born of God and knows God. You have been born of God and you know God. Born of God and know God. Born of God and know God. I have been born again. No. You haven't been born again if you have got a list of people that you hate. You have a black list. You are not born again. You need to be born again today. Tolokokanga. You need to be born again today and get to know God. Not just to know about Him. Know Him. Experience Him. Feel Him. Feel Him. Feel Him. The moment you feel Him, you will become like Him. You will exude love wherever you are. Verse 8 qualifies quite well. Anyone who does not love does not know God. All along you thought these were my words. They're in the Bible. Why? Because God is what? Period. We don't have to go into a commentary. We don't have to go into, a Bible dictionary to begin to understand this verse. It is plain and simple. If you do not love, you do not know God. If I do not love, I do not know God, because God is love. Verse 9. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we may live through Him. Through who? Through love. Through love. We live through love. The next verse as we finish. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Mm-hmm. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to do what? Love one another. If God loved me, I'll leave you because for you are holy and sanctified. But if God can love me, who am I not to love another person? With all my shortcomings, He still loves me. No one has ever seen God. Who has seen God? No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. That is how we know that you love God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But Pastor, you don't understand. These guys they are difficult. These guys are very difficult. The people you are telling me to love are very difficult. Has it ever occurred to you that you too could be difficult? Has it ever occurred to you that in this equation, it is you who could be the difficult one? Can I speak to the couples here, married couples especially? You are couples or you are in courtship or whatever. Ooh, this one is, you have no clue. She's difficult. But what about you? What about you? Mm-hmm. Tell your neighbor he has you there. What about you? Luke chapter 6, verse 30 to 36. Jesus told us something. He says, give to everyone who begs from you. To who? How many? Everyone. And from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. You know where most hatred, most grudges come from? He took my money and he didn't bring it back. Your money. You think you have money? You have nothing. You have absolutely nothing. Not even the clothes on your back. You don't have them. Don't have them. Because tomorrow, next year, I don't know how many years from now, yeah, whatever, you will not be here. And these clothes could still be here. Money. Paper. It's causing problems amongst us. If he's not paying, maybe he has an issue. Some people are just like that. Are you gonna go at the gate of heaven and they say you can't enter? Why? Because you did not forgive. Come on, 50 pounds. Come on, guys. Come on. You hurt somebody. You don't. I lent him money. He didn't pay back. What? You say, Pastor, you are not there when I'm making this money. I don't have to be there. I have done all the kind of work that you think I haven't done. So I know. Let's continue. And as you wish that others would do to you, so do to them. As simple as that. As you wish that they do to you, so you do to them. Now, verse 32. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? That's not love. I love her because she loves me. Why don't you talk to the other person? That person, they don't love me. What benefit is it to you? For even sinners love those who love them. There has to be a demarcation between a Christian and a sinner. Sinners love only those that they benefit from. What is in it for me is their question. What is in it for me? What is in it for you? No. I love because I am compelled by the love of Christ to love. The next verse, my daughter. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is it to you? For even sinners do. Next verse. And if you lend to those, you first have to have a credit check before you lend to Reuben. Credit check him. And you need to go to Experian. You have not yet arrived. You are still in elementary love. Nursery. If you lend to those whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. For some of us, we even say with interest, you have to bring back with interest. Oh, man. 35. But love your enemies. But love your enemies. Love who? We talked about this earlier. Yes. Love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. The moment the money leaves you, in your mind, say it's gone. If it comes back, hallelujah. If the brother or the sister pretends to forget, it's up to them. It's up to them. It's up to them. That's not someone for next time. That's If it leaves you, just say, okay. And your reward will be what? Great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for he is the kind, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Verse 36, as be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Difficult people. What are you going to do with difficult people? They're not hard to find, you know. They're not hard to find. They're in your house. Somebody says, your mirror. You're in your mirror. They're in your mirror. your fellow student at college. That crazy sibling of yours. The crazy in-laws. Your child who's going wayward. I was once like that. My parents were going somewhere, I was going elsewhere. It's an encouragement to parents here. If you see your child is going wayward, don't give up. If you see they're not enthusiastic about coming to church, don't give up. Just pray. Just pray. They have got a mark of God on them. They will never disappear from the hand of God. They will have a Damascene moment. They will have a Damascene moment. They will have the same moment that Paul had as he was going to Damascus. Some of the difficult people are your fellow minister. That lady you see, you serve with in the choir. serve with in the ushering team, some of them are difficult. Some of you are difficult. Some of you are difficult. Whenever you see an usher standing there, they are my extension. They are my extension. I cannot be there. So I want people to be there to do what I have told them to do. If they tell you, if you find seats that are cordoned off, it's not them who have said it, it's me who has said that. So when they tell you to sit somewhere and you become difficult, you are not disobeying them, you are disobeying me, and you are disobeying God. Did you hear that? And I have commanded them to let me know who is being difficult. So that after the service is finished, after we said the benedictions, I will call you into my office and we'll have a chat. We'll have a chat. You cannot be a difficult person and expect your child not to be one, not to become one. You cannot. You are difficult. Some of you are difficult. I have heard reports and I am coming. I am coming. I'm telling you the truth. I am coming. You know why you are here? You are under me so that by the grace of God, I can sharpen you into the person that God wants you to become. So if we don't have that chart and we begin to chisel off those difficult traits in you, then I'm killing you. You see, if you have a friend who cannot show you, you know, that your zip is, your fly is open, he's not a friend. And I'm in public here speaking, hallelujah, hallelujah, and my fly is open. And all of you are quiet. Then you are not my friends. Can we talk these things, guys? Can we talk? If you disobey an usher, you are not disobeying them. You are disobeying me. And you are disobeying God. Because everything that we put here is not to kill you. It is to make our services, you know, run smoothly. And guess what? There are going to be many changes. Every time, every week I go home and I begin to see what went wrong, what went right, what needs changing. And I come and implement it. I say, guys, those lights have got to move from the ceiling. And we need to change this lighting. Nicholas knows me. I keep telling him, I need to change that. And he's saying, why? Is there anything wrong with it? I have seen something wrong with it. So I need it changed. And you know what he does? He says, okay, Mose. And he will do it. He will do it. Difficult people. Difficult people. There are some difficult people sat in your chair right now. And we've got to address that difficulty. We've got to talk about it. We've got to confront the brutal facts. This business of telling each other lies, oh, hallelujah, oh, we are all going to heaven. No, 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 no. We need to address some stuff. Somebody say amen. Amen. Yeah, bless that kid. Amen. We've got to address them. Difficult people. You are making it, people are giving you love and you just because you are difficult. Come on. Get into the mirror and address. There's this man who was born a boy and died a woman. He was born a black boy and died a white. Yeah, he used to sing that song. He used to sing that song. Start with the what? Start with the man in the mirror before you talk about difficult people. You could be the difficult one. So you're saying, Pastor, how am I going to love difficult people? Start by loving that difficult person called you. Pray for that difficult person called you. Pray. Pray. Somebody say pray. Pray for you. When you go to, before they say, pray, pray. I'm out of my time, but I need to push this. Pray. Pray for people who are difficult in your school. If you think your spouse is difficult, pray for them. The answer is not out of the house. Pray for them. Pray for yourselves. Love them anyhow. Let your love be steadfast. Moses loved the children of Israel, got them out of the promised land. They began to hate him because they wanted to go back into Egypt. Married a Cushite woman. They were all over the place, but he still loved them. He loved them until the end. His love was steadfast. Christ loves you with a steadfast love. His love is hesed. Hesed. Love. Unconditional love. Unfailing love. Enduring love. You need to love your neighbors with enduring love. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Can we give the Lord a clap offering in this place? If you're in this place and you feel that you need to receive a dose of love, you've got somebody that has been on you, on your bad books, and you want to release them, now is the moment. There's nothing like shyness here. You want to release somebody. Somebody has been in your bad books.